Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm. Or wherever it is that you get podcasts from, we appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Malvina.
That would be a little weird.
Am I old? Nope. Try it again.
That would be a little weird.
There it is.
There we go.
Wherever you are.
Double's good. Double's good down there. Make sure I'm good. I don't want to.
Yeah, we got to double check everything. We should have done that before, but we didn't.
Eh.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's only a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you are cooking out, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. You're not cooking out and you don't want to cook, well, nothing beats going to one of our awesome steakhouses. They're all over the great state of Mississippi, and you can find one not too far away from wherever it is that you are. Whether you're at home or out on the road, steak is not too far away. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Guys, we are 1 week away from Mother's Day. If you haven't done it yet, you run out of time. Thankfully, College Corner is there for you. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell. You can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. I don't know about shipping can get there that quick, but, you know, maybe you can. So it's worth a look. Get mom something great from College Corner. Restaurant Tyler, almost 16 locations. It was almost just that came out of my mouth right there. I wish there were 16 locations of Restaurant Tyler. I wish they were all over the state of Mississippi. Wherever I went, I wasn't too far away from a Restaurant Tyler. But alas, there is only one, and it is here in the great city of Starkville. And it's waiting on you to come by and enjoy a fantastic blue plate lunch. Get you some fried chicken, some catfish, whatever it is that you want for Southern-style lunch. You can't beat it. It's at Restaurant Tyler. There are 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi. They are here to serve you. The PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to show you not only where they're located, but how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers, you need them immediately, you get them at Priority One Bank. They provide a level of service you're only going to find at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Super Bulldog Weekend lives up to its nickname, Robbie. It lives up to that title. A tremendous weekend for Mississippi State. A softball series win over Ole Miss. A incredible Starkville Derby. 80,000 people in the Cotton District to watch the Wiener Dogs race. But the cherry on top is the sweep of Mississippi State baseball, getting a sweep over the Kentucky Wildcats. Robbie, we talked about this on, I guess it would have been Thursday's show, when we talked about how well State played against Memphis. And it was kind of, you know, are the eyes just, do they just see what they want to see sometimes? I don't think we can say that we're being biased at this point. We can't say that, they just wanted Lamonis gone or anything like that. They're playing better. That team, that's some of the best baseball they've played all year. Offense, defense, pitching, everything, it just clicked for Mississippi State this weekend.
It did, and this is why you make these moves, man. Like, this is something that a lot of people outside of this program were upset about, Mississippi State making a move in the middle of the season. But they make this move because Zach Selman fully believed that they were capable of making a run. And how many times have we seen a team have something like this happen in the middle of the season? They lose a coach or they lose a player or something, and it sparks something in the team, and it makes them closer, and it creates something that they didn't have in the first, 7 weeks or whatever of SEC schedule. That's what's happened with Mississippi State. I fully believed when that move was going to be made, whether it be in the middle of the season or whatever, no matter what series it came, I felt like Mississippi State had a chance to get a little bit of a run in them because they are talented. And if something was missing with them, and this is something that I think could create a spark for them the next 2 weekends too. And it's just really tough whenever you get a team playing everybody on the same page, especially in baseball, when things really start rolling downhill for you and everybody's on the same page and everybody's locked in, it is really tough to beat those teams. And we've seen that at Mississippi State. We've seen that up the road at Ole Miss. We've seen it at a lot of places over the years. Playing baseball really well at the right time. When teams are all locked in and all on the same page like that, they're tough to beat. And that's what we saw from Mississippi State this week. Whether or not that continues, I don't know. I have a feeling it will. I think that this team will continue to play really good baseball here. But it was just refreshing. And you got to be happy for Mississippi State players, because this has been a very difficult season. And this has been, I'm sure, tough for them with the noise that you hear. I mean, this is a tough place to play baseball. This is a really tough fan base, and the expectations are extremely high. You hear chatter in the outfield, you hear chatter in the stands, you see it on social media, and I'm not saying it's not warranted. I'm just saying a lot of expectations come here at Mississippi State, and it's been that way for a long time. Ron Polk used to talk about it a lot, about the noise out there, and sometimes it was good. One of his main talking points back in the day was sometimes it's good to leave Starkville and go play on the road and go play in front of another fan base to kind of get away from all that, because it's not for everybody. But this team's had a rough year, and you lose your coach this week. That was very difficult for them too. I'm really happy for them to have this kind of weekend, and now I hope it continues. I want to see this team make postseason, and I think a lot of people out there that were, quite frankly, cheering for Mississippi State to lose at this point, so they didn't see Chris Emolinas anymore. I think they're all kind of bought back in at this point. I think the fan base is back all in on baseball now, and I think the fan base is all pulling in the same direction. They want this team to win moving forward. They want to get in postseason. They want to do some big things here.
We talked about that, you know, pe there were people who were having difficult struggles with their own fandom, and I get that. And now, yeah, it felt like this weekend, it just felt like we were watching Mississippi State baseball again. And now you have a real chance here, a real chance to finish strong enough to put yourself into a regional and be playing well enough that people are going to say, you know, hey, you don't want to play Mississippi State right now. If you get Mississippi State in your regional, that's a problem for you. State's RPI jumped up 15 spots over the weekend. They're now 30 in the RPI, sitting at 29 and 19 and 10 and 14 in the conference. They have Ole Miss next weekend. They get Missouri after that. You and I were talking a little bit about that Missouri series, especially if State can keep rolling this weekend, right? Let's say they take the series from Ole Miss. It's crazy how much pressure would be on State going to Missouri if Missouri is 0-27. The best case scenario for State is somehow Missouri gets a win. I don't know who they play, and I don't really care. I guess I could look it up, but.
I guess a lot of people are going to be watching that game, like, or that series,
It's about history at that
seeing if
point.
they can go 0-30.
So Missouri, they play A&M this weekend at A&M. They probably unlikely to get a win, but you never know. But there will be a lot of pressure on State to get the sweep if they're 0-27. And the other side of this coin is, I mean, right now when you look at State, there's a path to 15-15, which I never would have guessed. They were 7-14. And you're thinking, okay, well, they're not going to go 8-1 the rest of the way, but that's a very real possibility for this Mississippi State team.
Sweep. This is what sweeping does for you. This is it's sweeping is, and that's why State getting swept those two series was so big, because that changes the whole trajectory. You're sitting here with 12 wins now if you just don't get swept. And then you go into the last 2 weekends and you're looking at, can you you're probably going to be in postseason.
You're in, and you're
and then can you start moving to, like up the ladder?
honestly, at 12, if they stayed at 12 wins right now, and we would predict them to win five of the next six, you're talking about maybe hosting at 17 and 13.
I mean, you're right back in the discussion where
Yeah,
you were last year, pretty
so
much,
yeah, I mean
because you
those.
don't have a lot of bad losses.
Yeah, just all, and we're talking about, hold on to a 6-1 lead against LSU, hold on to a, what, 5-3 lead against Texas, or hold on to an 11-10 lead, whatever it was, against Oklahoma. Just a few more things here and there. And that's what bad teams do. They find ways to lose close games. This weekend, Mississippi State found ways to win games.
And
I thought that first.
that's been kind of the whole thing about Mississippi State baseball the last 4 years, and why Chris Lemonis is no longer here is because his teams just found ways to lose those games. And these three games, they were all kind of different. The first night State had, or well, the
Game
first
one,
game,
yeah.
they were scuffling a little bit early, and
And
then they
then
fought back in it, and then really exploded there in that one inning.
yeah.
The second game, you get the good start, and then you just kind of go cold for a little bit, but your pitching really took hold in those middle innings to keep you in it, and you have a clutch hit late. This one was both teams started pretty strong on the mound. State had really good situational hitting, and then the bullpen was good again.
No.
So, in reality, you're losing routinely in three different ways, it seems like, on the weekend at Mississippi State the last 4 years, more often than not. This was a little different. This was kind of like a turn for the better for Mississippi State. They found ways to win different ways, and that's the Mississippi State baseball you're used to watching at this stage of the year over the seasons that have been the successful years for them. So that was nice to see them playing just good, solid baseball in all three phases.
We talked to Parker again after the game today, and he talked about just playing baseball in all phases of the game, not just trying to sit up there and slug home runs. And that's, it's kind of interesting he said that because that's kind of what Kentucky does, right? Kentucky tries to play the run game, the short game, the small ball. And Mississippi State, that's not necessarily small ball this weekend, but they did have some successful bunts. They did move runners. I thought State, like I said, I thought that these games were just complete games for Mississippi State. That they played good defense, only one error on the whole weekend. They threw out a runner today, which is not, that's been something that's been a problem for them. We talked about that last week with controlling the Kentucky running game. I thought State did a pretty good job of that this weekend. Different guys getting clutch hits. Bottom of the order, Gatlin Sanders just really good. Joe Powell has a pretty strong case to be SEC Player of the Week. I don't know who everything happened in the week, but he had three monstrous games this weekend. He had the game-winning base hit in the nightcap last night. He had a big RBI single today. It turned it into a double, I believe, today that kind of broke the game open a little bit. And on the first game on Saturday, I think he had three hits in that one, including a home run.
Two doubles.
Two doubles. Yeah, he played really, really well this weekend. So what we're not going to do here is talk about being back. We're not
Just
going to,
wait.
Noah Sullivan said something on his way out the door on Tuesday. I will not repeat it.
Are you not going to repeat it?
Nah,
You don't want to get involved in that
it's
just
just a
yet?
little too early for that kind of juju. Let's just say he took a phrase that another team had said when they were late in the season, and he put dogs in there instead of the other team's name. And we'll just leave it
It
at
wasn't
that.
like a cuss or anything.
He
It
didn't
didn't sound
talk.
like he was
No,
dropping
he didn't
F
say anything
bombs.
bad. Just saying we're not going to say that just yet. So
But I think you can definitely look at this team just based on this week and say they're playing with some purpose and playing and looking like a lot different team than we've seen this season for the most part. We've always kind of like looked at this team, and I think even early in the season when they had some struggles at times, I always felt like this team was better than they were showing. Like th
yes.
this did not I've
That's
said
what got us
this.
so upset and so frustrated. It was like,
Yeah.
this team is more talented than this. They should not be losing these games.
Like 2022 and 2023, those were bad teams. And I think it showed. They just were bad.
Yeah.
And this team has played bad baseball at times, but they are way more talented than they show. And I think what we saw this week is a little bit more of that what we could see a little bit on the surface coming together. The lineup is really getting to the point where I think it's pretty stout, top to bottom. There's just not a lot of holes in it. I mean, right now, Ross Highfield is your lowest batting average in the starting lineup, and Reed Stallman has been starting in right field. Highfield might actually be a better outfielder than he is a catcher.
Well, that's what I was about to say. I think moving him from behind the plate, where he's had some defensive woes this year, getting him out into the outfield, great athlete. He should be fine back there.
Yeah, I think that's probably where you play him. And he had some solid at bats at times this weekend. I don't really know what they do at right field. It might differ from game to game. It seems like Nolan Stevens is hurt right now, but Reed Stallman kind of struggled a little bit out there. I wonder if how much of that had to do with the field conditions. But also the turf out there on the warning track seems to be a problem. I don't know if it's just the right fielder, but we've seen Nolan Stevens slip a couple of times. Stallman slipped twice yesterday. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I haven't got my cleats on and going out there and run around, but going from natural grass to turf, it
It can be
seems to
tough.
be a change. But also they hit the ball off the right field plaza like three times yesterday. I don't know if I've seen that once this year.
It's almost like they were going for it.
And Stallman didn't really know how to
Didn't know how
attack
to
that. So
play
that
it. Had some issues.
the outfield play wasn't great yesterday, but man, was it good on Sunday.
We would be remiss to get through this and not mention Michael O'Brien, a guy
And
who's
Bryce Chance.
Bryce Chance had a fantastic catch. It was in the first inning, right?
Yes.
And you're like, well, that's a great catch.
Rob a two-run home run.
But then Michael O'Brien in the top of the ninth made what may be the best catch I've ever seen at Dudie Noble. The first other two that came to my mind are Brooks Brian's in the regional where he robbed a homer. That was maybe the most meaningful catch at Dudie Noble Field. Mangum had a catch similar to that. This is an absolutely perfect catch by Michael
It
O'Brien.
was a
He
perfect
has to
play.
time everything to perfection, the run, the jump, the extension, and he robs Kentucky of a home run. I'm just telling you, like you and I try to be, we try to hold ourselves to the professional press box standard. Could not. Literally was just like, oh my God, when he caught that ball.
The timing was perfect, and the angle he took on it was perfect. And it's got to be that to make a play like
You
that.
make a defensive replacement, that's what you want to see
When
happen.
you're a
It was
kid,
fantastic.
and you're playing in the backyard, you always simulate like robbing home runs. Like we used to do that all the time. Like, and we would try to get the angle right and the jump and get our buddy to throw the ball up there and see if we could rob it like right around the fence. That had to have been years and years of being in the backyard with his dad or being at the Little League ballpark, Michael O'Brien making those kind of plays. And Chris Amonis has been like his biggest cheerleader over the last couple of years. He's talked about how great a defender he is out there in the outfield, and we've seen some really nice plays from him. The bat has been kind of the issue for him, keeping him from out there
Can't.
playing out there.
She struggled at the plate. There's no getting around that.
But he is very much a legit outfield defender,
And that was
guy that
a
can rob those home
that
runs.
was a Griffey Jr. catch.
It was amazing.
I mean, that's the first thing that popped in my head. Like, that's a catch that Griffey Jr. would
I
make.
think chances was more important for the because
Because you needed to get that early in the game. You don't you
they hit a two out triple
Yeah.
and then followed that up with a ball that was laced
Yeah.
right at the top of the wall and Chance robbed it. It would have been
Yeah.
two nothing early.
Yeah.
This would have been a solo home
Changes.
run that made
Changes.
it 6-2.
Yeah.
But just the fact that he did it that way was just
Well, it also
unbelievable.
talks of it shows the whole idea of being ready when your name is called, right? O'Brien's sitting on the bench for 8 innings and he's like, hey, get out there. We need you in center. And
And I think he knows his role too. Like,
first ball that's hit at him, I mean, ball it should have gone out. It should have gone out. And he brings it back in. That's just a crazy play.
and it also creates so much more confidence for Luke Dotson, who I think was kind of laboring there late in the game. They were squaring him up. Last two batters really squared him up. Well, actually, the first two batters of the inning really squared him up. And That's a guy that he pitched really well on Saturday night to get you the series win, and you asked him to come back. He has not done that by my recollection this year. And he and Ben Davis both come back on back-to-back days and give you some really good production. He pitched 2 innings. Ben Davis pitched 3 shutout innings. 15 scoreless innings from your bullpen over the weekend, which after the last
Think about what it
week.
was the last 2 weeks. Yeah, it was
But
awful.
this is a confidence thing. That this whole run the last 4 years has been about confidence for me. Like I think that has played such a huge part in this team starting to crumble a little bit, as they just didn't have that confidence and they didn't make the fundamental plays. But when you have mistakes, when you make mistakes, they tend to snowball. And this team is now making some plays. And when you make some plays, you see how much easier it is to continue to stack good plays. I go back to right after that robbed home run, a ball that was absolutely scorched to Ace Reese, and he catches it. Players just playing with much more confidence in the field. I think that's going to go a long way for Mississippi State, and it's just going to trickle down. Because when you got guys making plays behind you on defense, the pitchers can pitch more confidently. The offense starts to feel a little bit better about itself. This is just something that I think is really going to springboard Mississippi State. This weekend's huge, and it's a week by week thing for Mississippi State, game by game. Every single game, like we've mentioned this year, is crucial for them, and it gets you closer and closer to getting postseason if you get it. I think State will be given the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
14 wins will
We'll
get
get
them
them in.
in, I think.
Yeah.
13 will be pushing it.
Iffy.
I think they're the
Well,
three seed.
because our 13 in all likelihood means that you did not sweep Missouri.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah.
Well, and here's the thing though, is like there's not a lot of like sure things at the top right now in
Right.
college baseball.
Well, not even
Arkansas had, I think,
not in
three
the
straight
SEC, yeah.
I think Arkansas had 3 straight series losses.
And
They
they
killed Texas,
swept them.
who we all thought was running away
Cruising.
with the SEC
Yeah.
championship. LSU drops 2 to Texas A&M.
Tennessee. Tennessee
Tennessee
dropped two
drops
to
a series
Auburn.
to Auburn.
Auburn's really hot right now. They're moving
Auburn's
up.
hot. This is so
Bama,
weird. This is
I think
like a Stanford.
Bama's winning, which means Vanderbilt will have lost two straight series.
Correct.
So.
And this is like the San Francisco Giants, what Auburn's doing, like what the Giants did when they were like winning championships, and then the next year they were
Don't you
not very
dare.
good. And
Don't you dare compare my.
well, I mean,
Don't you
you're
dare.
winning
I'm just.
championships
Don't you dare compare my team to the Auburn
to the Auburn
Tigers. Yeah, I
Tigers.
don't want to have that.
Well, what
No.
do you have against the Tigers?
So much. So much.
You and I both, I believe.
Yes.
But
All
should we?
No. No, I don't. No, not today.
Okay.
Let's
Because I
move.
have a lot of things
I
I would
know.
like to
I know.
say.
I know you do. I know. I know. Let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at Two
You
Brothers Smoked
silence
Meats.
me.
I'm not trying to silence you. I just don't want to do that today. Let's save it for another day. Let's save it for a day where we, got something else going on.
Okay.
Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. The Cotton District was the home of the Starkville Derby this weekend. I was at Two Brothers. That place was packed, full of people enjoying a great time. Want to give a big shout out to our friend Barton Deakins, the manager over there. He brought us. We were doing commentary. He brought a couple of stacks of smoked wings up there for us, and I was just plowing through them. It was so good. Don't. It
No,
was
no,
not.
no, no. You're not going to. You are not going to silence me on this.
I didn't do it though.
So I text.
You can say whatever you want, but I didn't do anything.
Let me just say,
Okay.
I text Brian. I'm walking over to the Derby. We've already had this discussion. I was left out of everything.
Well,
Brian
I didn't do it.
Brian gets a weenie dog, trophy. Brian's on the call. Brian's getting VIP set up. He's sitting
Brian.
up there on the porch at Two Brothers. He's getting a plate of wings. And I text him. I was like, "Hey, are you at Two Brothers? I'll just come up there." "Oh, I don't think they'll let you up here."
Okay, now can I say
I
something?
said, "Who is they?" And he said, "Security." I said, "Oh, I see where this is going. I know exactly what's happening here.
They kicked my
I know
daughter out.
exactly what's
They kicked
happening."
Aislinn out.
Well, I saw people up there that were wearing
Like,
media passes
yeah.
that were not media, that were just chilling up there.
Well, that means they were something media. They had something
They
with
were
media.
not media.
I'm just saying this.
I was told by
My
three four of
only
them
child
that
was sitting there, and I turned around, and then she was gone. And she sends me a text. She's like, "They asked. They made me leave." And I'm just like, "Why didn't you say something to me?" I would have been like, "That's my kid. She's not
yeah,
going anywhere."
you couldn't have said the same for
If
me.
you had come up there,
I'm
I would
your
have been like,
friend and
"Hey, he's with
co-host.
us." I would have done it, but you didn't. I didn't.
No, you didn't.
I'm just
You were
saying.
not. You just said, I don't think they'll
I
let you
didn't
up
think
there.
they would let you up. They were kicking people out. They almost kicked me out because I didn't have a credential.
Was it watchdog security?
It no, it was they had like some real security up
Okay.
there.
I was very disappointed about this, but
But you ended up going into the VIP area and
I
having a
did.
good time.
I did. The event itself was excellent.
Right then.
But I was very upset
I'm sorry.
that
I didn't do any of these things to you.
I was ostracized
No.
from two brothers, a place that I love and
No.
frequent.
No. No.
I know how I know where this is going.
It's not going
I
anywhere.
already had a conversation with Alden about this too,
Oh, did you?
and I know what's been transpiring behind the scenes, and I don't like it.
Stop.
I don't like it.
Nothing is happening. And, the
People
jury's
are
out.
talking. There's other people out there who don't like it either.
Okay.
They're talking.
You know why they invented sidewalks?
Why?
Because the streets ain't for everybody, man.
Oh, well, what do you know about the
I'm just
streets?
saying.
You didn't grow up in Baffin Woods subdivision in Louisville like I did.
Brother, I grew up on Drummond Street in Vicksburg. All right, I'm just down the road from Marcus Bottom. Don't talk to me about that. Anyway, Two Brothers Smoked Meats.
Maybe next
We're a
year.
fan.
Maybe next year I can get some smoked wings for free.
I'll buy you some smoked wings. I'll buy them for you.
I want them for free.
They would be for free.
For free.
All right. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 50 years.
Today.
Didn't know Slayer was on the show today. Wherever you are in our great state, when you need business technology, if your business needs a new copier, a new printer, new computers, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And if something goes wrong, you just call them back and they'll take care of it for you. That's the difference between being a neighbor and being a number. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business.
Not a fan of burp metal.
Who?
Burp metal?
Burp metal?
Yeah.
What?
Whenever somebody's like, burp, that's
Oh,
burp metal.
I didn't know that. I learned something today. If you're gonna be in Starkville next weekend for this big
Yeah, I
series
thought
with
the dog laid it. Dogs laid eggs.
So I learned something today. You're gonna be in Starkville this weekend for the Ole Miss series, big series. You need to look your best. You need to head over to Maroon & Co. to get some new gear. Rock the M-Over S, the state script, the interlocking maroon and white. If whatever it is you're looking for, Mississippi State, they've got it at Maroon & Co. And they'll save you some money with our promo code THUNDER15. Takes 15% off regular price. Some exclusions will apply. Next time you're in Starkville, before you head over to Duty Noble, you need to head to Maroon & Co. Now, I don't know if you noticed our friends at Scruggs tweeted at us this week, and they said they're going to get that. You need to come see them, they said. They'll
Yes.
get that lawn looking tip-top.
I need to go see the professionals.
Yes, and that's what they are
Did he say
over at.
they had a chemicals department?
Yeah.
Man,
I cannot stress
they're
enough.
scientists.
Well, then you and them have something in common.
Or they're chemists.
If you like to work in your house, you have projects that need to be done around the house. If you have gardening projects that you like to do, if you're out in the garden, if you're a person who takes pride in their lawn, if you're somebody who likes to cook out, whatever it is, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has something that you need there. Hell, if you just need a cold beer, they got you covered at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. They have the cheapest beer in the state of Mississippi.
They have beer in there?
Yes! It's a one-stop shop. Whatever women are doing at Target, men are going to be doing it at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. All right.
That's a great comparison, I
I'm just
think.
saying, like, we just want to go, like, don't ever tell me we're click listing when we're going to Scruggs. All right. Well, I'm going to go look around. All right. And don't forget, it's John Deere Drive Green Spring sales event season. Get 0% financing on 48 months on the powerful John Deere Gator and commercial mowers, or 0% financing up to 72 months. That's 6 years, by the way. on all John Deere compact tractors. Don't miss out. The offer is valid through June 2nd, so you got just about a month left to go. See your dealer for details. Visit Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden and 30 at 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo, or online at scruggsfarm.com. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, they have what you want for less. Yes, Robbie, it is everything you need. Everything a man needs to be a man is in there.
Yes.
All right, then. That should be their slogan. Everything a man needs to be a man is in there.
He's a man.
Feels like I might get canceled for that slogan, but I'm just saying. All right. We are now going to make fun of Texas A&M, and I'm going to tell you why. Not for baseball. You know, people like to make little brother comments about State and Ole Miss and Auburn, Alabama, whatever. Texas A&M to me is the biggest little brother rivalry thing happening, right? Texas just, they just own them. And so I told you guys that I was going to put out our SEC spring previews in one big show, right? I was going to do that. So I went and I downloaded, I got all the files and I'm counting them. I'm like, this isn't right. I'm missing one. What's going on? And that's when I realized that I had just forgotten that Texas A&M even existed.
Yikes.
I just forgot they existed. It's like, holy cow, we haven't done a Texas A&M interview.
That hurts.
So, let's bring it to you now. On Friday, I talked with... You're not ready to hear this guy's name, by the way. You're not ready.
I'm not?
No, you're not ready to hear it. But I'm going to tell it to you anyway. I talked to Tony Catalina.
Tony Catalina.
Yes.
That sounds fake.
It's his name. And this is the other thing. I'm telling you, this whole thing. He's the Texas A&M beat writer for the Austin American Statesman.
Austin has a Texas
A&M beat writer.
Oh.
I asked him about that to start the interview. It's kind of funny. So let's go down to my interview with Tony Catalina as we finally wrap up our SEC spring previews. We're coming down to the wire here with our spring previews. Let's hit up Texas A&M today with Tony Catalina from the Austin American Statesman. Tony, I got like a journalism question to start off here. Is it a little odd being the Texas A&M beat writer for the Austin paper?
Yeah, it gets brought up quite a bit, to be honest with you. We were covering the baseball series last weekend, and you know, I got to sit with all of my Austin American Statesman coworkers, and it felt funny to be local media for a weekend. You know what I mean? So no, it's been good. It's been fun. But yeah, I do get that question quite often.
I'm just trying to picture like the Auburn beat writer for the Tuscaloosa News or something like that. That guy might have to fight in the streets. I don't know. I don't know how that would go. Let's talk about Texas A&M. I thought for a second last year that this was it. They were finally about to break through and get to that the promised land of the college football playoff, and then the season just ended not the way they wanted it to. And obviously the injury to Le'Veon Moss played a huge role in that. When you think back to last season, was I correct in thinking this A&M team, when it was at its best, was one of the best teams in college football?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I mean, once they found what they had with Marcel Reed and they really – tailored the offense around some of his strengths, you could see that this team had the potential and some talent. Obviously, they had some deficiencies and some injuries broke down late season, and that ultimately tells a huge picture of what the difference between being a good team and a great team, because it's how do you respond to injuries? Do you have the talent? Do you have the resources to kind of overcome that? But I think they had the makings of a quality football team. And when they were on a roll there in October, early November, I don't think it was far-fetched to say, hey, this might be one of the better teams in college football.
I don't know that I've ever seen a team. And one of the things we say here on this podcast a lot is there are so many coaches who would rather lose their way than win somebody else's way. And Elko, to really flip what he was doing offensively mid-season because he wanted to change quarterbacks, that to me is a huge positive sign for the direction his tenure is going to go. That's something that I feel like Nick Saban would have done, that he's like, look, this isn't working. We got to change it. I was very impressed by that.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's about the players, not necessarily the plays, right? You fit your system around the talent you have, not the other way around. And like you said, some of the great coaches that ever play, you know, walk the sideline, are able to do that. And so I don't know if Mike Elko sits in that realm just yet, but the signs of a guy who's willing to make changes and do what's best for his program in 2024, 2025, and going forward, that's a really good sign if you're an A&M fan.
So let's talk about this year's team, and let's look at what's going on in this spring. Obviously, this is going to be Marcel Reed's job. Le'Veon Moss coming back makes you think that he'll he's obviously going to get first crack at starting tailback. What are the position battles in the spring that you've got an eye on?
I think, for me, it's wide receiver. They brought in a lot of talent in the wide receiver room. KC Conception. They got Micah Hudson. Not, excuse me, not Micah Hudson. They got, yeah, they do actually. Who else they got? They got Mario Craver. Excuse me, is
We
what I'm
know
thinking of
him.
from. Yeah, exactly. So Mario Craver has came in and he's made some noise, right? He's done well here in spring. I've heard some good things about him on the field. Jonah Wilson from Washington. So just the influx of wide receiver talent. Then you add in Terry Bussey, who's coming in to be a sophomore, a second season. And now it's a different room than what they had last year, where it was Noah Thomas and then some other guys who have, sprinkled in some plays. So the wide receiver room, and I would say the cornerback room as well, is a lot different as well. So those two positions battles, and coincidentally or not, they face off in spring practice and practice every day. So I think those are going to be two fun spots to watch.
And it looks like where A&M can be strong on offense, especially is on this offensive line. I feel like that's a good group coming back there.
Yeah, for sure. Led by Armaj Reed Adams, who just got named a captain. Trey Zun, the left tackle, who's the captain. They got some young guys, Mark Nabu, and they have some pieces there. They feel really good about it. And when you have a young quarterback who is, like Marcel Reed, who's leading the charge as his team for the first time, having some veteran presence up front, some guys who have played quality SEC football in front of him, it's a good recipe to get him comfortable and get him going.
The defensive line, the other side, that's where A&M lost some guys. In the NFL draft, we all know about Shamar Turner. A lot of good pieces. And I go back to that number one rated recruiting class, and it was so heavy on the defensive line. And then, but a lot of those guys made their name elsewhere. This is a new group on that defensive line. Who are the faces to watch, and can they be as good as they were last year with Turner, with Nick Skorton, and those guys?
Yeah, so I've actually been, the conductor of this hype train all last season. I
All right.
think their best pure pass rusher is still on the roster, was on the roster last year. And for me, it's Cassius Howell. He's somebody who gets after the quarterback. He plays with great effort, tremendous energy. He has a really impressive pass rush bag. Not as big as a Nick Skorton or a Shamar Stewart, but somebody who I think is going to surprise people on a national scale. He's somebody that's brought back. They're going to lean on him big time, but they have brought in new pieces. TJ Searcy from Florida, like a Deion Hayes from Colorado. They have done a lot to upgrade that room. And then you look in the interior, they have Tyler Onyedum from Iowa State. They have a couple of different pieces they feel really good about now. They tailed off. Defensive line was supposed to be their strength last year, and due to injuries and fatigue, whatever the case may be, that production tailed off at the end of the year. I think they feel really good about the core they've built and brought in this portal cycle to feel good about it again this year.
Is secondary going to be the strength of this defense? It looks like they got some really good pieces there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they got Will Lee, who's coming back, the Kansas State transfer, will be in his second season there. And for me, I looked at Julian Humphrey, the Georgia transfer. Everybody was excited about his ad because he has talent. Obviously, a starter for the Bulldogs. That's a championship program. But the name that keeps getting thrown around is Jordan Shaw. Every single person I've spoke to has talked about the former Washington Husky cornerback, whether it be players, coaches. You how it goes. You talk to these players, these coaches, say, who's the guy that's impressing you the most? And Jordan Shaw, more times than not, has come out there. You add in the fact that they get Tyreek Chappell coming back from injury, and that's a cornerback room where now you're going to see who's going to be the odd man out starting wise, because every one of these guys look like they have the ability to be starters.
Of the true freshmen that are coming in for you had your early enrollees, who's the one that you think could make the biggest impact in 2025?
It is interesting to think about that. Which one of these freshman guys are going to step up most? I think Landon Brink, the defensive tackle, a guy came in, and obviously there is some, we just talked about the defensive line, is there are some spots to be won. There are some new guys that came in through the transfer portal, but can a freshman, a young first-year starter come in and make a difference? And I think at that defensive tackle spot with Landon Brink, he can do that. He had some movement in the pocket, and in the spring game, he's somebody who brings a little bit of a pass rush, and he's tough in the run game. So if I'm gonna look, it's an unsexy position, right? It's somebody you're not really gonna talk about too much, but in the defensive tackle spot where they need somebody to step up, I think he has a chance to be that guy.
Texas A&M traveling to Notre Dame week 3 of the season. That was a great non-conference game a year ago, kind of boosted Notre Dame, the rest of their season. But A&M was very competitive in that game, and you came out of it thinking, okay, this is going to be a good Aggie football team. It's week 3 this year. It was week 1 last year. So A&M will get a couple of, we'll call them warm-up games under their belt with UTSA and Utah State. Do we learn what we're going to know about Texas A&M week 3 when they travel up to South Bend?
I think so because, like you said, it's week 3. They got a couple of games that are, get your feet wet, get in there and go and play some football, just kind of get your wind underneath you. But if you think this football team is as good as they hope they are, you got to go to South Bend. You got to handle business. And I'm sure a lot of these guys are going to have a bad taste in their mouth from a football game that was right there for the taking last year. Obviously, a completely different football team. Connor Wegman's in Houston now. He threw only 100 yards in that game. Marcel Reed hoping to be more effective in that case. But yeah, this is a game. This is a measuring stick, right? This is a team that was in the national championship, a team that looks different themselves, maybe not as strong, maybe not as talented as they were last year, different quarterback running the show. But if A&M comes out of that game and they start the year 3-0, I don't really see how the hype train doesn't get rolling as well.
What's the biggest thing you want to see from Mike Elko in his second year at Texas A&M?
I think, he had talked about it after the bowl game in the Las Vegas Bowl against USC. He wanted to be more hands-on defensively. I don't think it looked the way he wanted it to look. There were some things that he wishes he could have had back. Maybe it'd been schematically, maybe it'd been teach-wise. But him having more of a hands-on approach to that defense, I think will help shore it up. Some of the silly mistakes in the back end, understanding that year one, these young college kids, they're gonna have lapses in what they're supposed to be doing. But I want to see Mike Elko take a more concerted effort on the defensive end, like he's known to. I mean, he's had some really good defenses in his career. That's where he's kind of he put his hat. But I think that's something A&M would want to see.
All right, last question is the same question I've asked everybody who's done one of these interviews with me. Today, we're almost into May now. Last game of the season, regular season, obviously, is Texas A&M. What are we saying about A&M after that game?
After that game, it's a great question. It's so many variables because is Arch Manning everything that everybody thinks he is, right? So what does that game mean? Last year it meant everything. You win that game, you go to the SEC championship, and we're having a totally different conversation right now. I think they're better equipped. I think they're ready to go in year two. I think we're talking about A&M in a favorable matchup where if you do think Texas is ahead of them, I don't think you're crazy for that, but I bet you they're a little closer than some probably people are having that conversation, say, right now or even in August.
A&M always one of the most interesting teams to keep an eye on as the SEC season unfolds. We'll talk to Tony again as we get closer to the season. We're doing some opponent previews and such. Tony Catalina, really appreciate your time, man. Thanks so much.
So I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
My apologies to the Aggies. My bad. My bad, guys. My bad. I'll take full responsibility. I wish you could have seen my face as I was counting. I was like, 13, 14. There should be 15. Where? And so I'm looking
Hope
at
you
it.
missed it.
And I'm looking, I'm like, and then I went back and looked at last year's to see who all I talked to, make sure, see if I found, see a familiar name or something. And that's when I was like, oh, Texas A&M. Oh, yeah. They're a thing.
Yes.
My bad. My bad, guys. All right. Tomorrow's show, probably some more baseball talk, probably some basketball talk. No midweek baseball this week. Not until, we're not back until, didn't up until Friday. 7:30 first pitch against the Rebels on
I
Friday night.
hate 7:30.
Lock
Yeah, I
in,
hate
brother.
7 games,
Yeah.
7 p.m. games.
If only Cowbells was still open, we could go there after the game because it'll
Yep.
be that late. Oh, well. All right. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.